Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another day and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews, chapter 11. And we're going to continue our teaching on, we must know and understand the reality of God's word, the six principles of obtaining strong faith. Again, we're teaching on, we must know and understand the reality of God's word, the six principles of obtaining strong faith. So if you found Hebrews 11, go to verse number 6. Follow along as I read. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Now, there are three points in this verse that I think need to be looked at and observed. Number one, it tells us that it is faith that pleases God. It is faith that pleases God. It didn't say prayer. It didn't say worship, or it didn't say fellowship. It said faith is what pleases God. Then number two, those who come to God must believe that he is, And what he means by he is, that means he is the only true and living God. And finally, number three, he rewards those who diligently seek him. One must have an earnest pursuit for the things of God in order to be rewarded. Amen. Now, we are currently teaching on principle number six, and that principle is we must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. Now, since this is a radio program and we have new listeners every week, we always have to read the other five principles so people can kind of catch up to where we are. So principle number one is we must know and understand the reality of the Word of God. Let me repeat that. We must know and understand the reality of the Word of God. Principle number two, we must know and understand the reality of our redemption in Christ. Again, we must know and understand the reality of our redemption in Christ. Principle number three, we must know and understand the reality of the new creation. Again, we must know and understand the reality of the new creation. Principle number four, we must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Once again, we must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Principle number five, we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. Again, we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. Now, those are the previous five principles that we have already discussed. Now, remember, authority is of no value unless you act on that authority. You can have the keys to the car, the keys to the house, and even keys to the kingdom. But if you don't open the door, it won't do you any good. You have to open the door. Amen. Now, the church has this authority, but it hasn't known it. Amen. And that responsibility is on the pastor. And they can't teach what they don't know. They have been satisfied to feed on the fruits of emotionalism and traditionalism. I mentioned last week, when we use the name of Jesus, we have what I like to call, or what the legal profession calls, the power of attorney. That means that when we use his name, Jesus, it is just as though he, Jesus, is using it himself. We do it in lieu or act on behalf of him. We use his name, and his name has authority in it. It is as if he himself were to use the name. We have what I like to call the spiritual power of attorney. Amen. The spiritual power of attorney, to use the authority of the name of Jesus. Now, there are those who say that miracles and healing went out with the early church. But let's look and see what the Word of God says about that. We always have to compare and go to the Word. We should be like the brethren of Berea, in that they received the Word with all readiness, and they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. That can be found in Acts 17:11. So we have to search the Scriptures daily to make sure the things that we hear and what people say line up scripturally with the Word of God. Now, please go with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And let's see if miracles and healings are for today's church. John 14:12. And this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Amen. Now, that verse we just read doesn't sound like miracles and healing went out with the early church. He said, Jesus, the works that I do shall you do also. Now, think about it. What were some of the works that Jesus did? What were some of the works that Jesus did? Well, he raised the dead. He opened the eyes of the blind. He unstopped deaf ears. He cast out demons. He turned water into wine. He stopped the waters or the waves. And he caused the wind to cease. He did all these things, and he said, the works I do shall you do also. He's given us the authority to do those same things. But also, still some of you don't believe that it is for the church today. You don't believe it's for us today. See, that's exactly why it hasn't worked, because you won't believe it. Mark 9:23 says, if you can believe, it says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Amen. He says all things. So I just have a simple question. What is left out of all? Nothing. You're absolutely correct. So we can do those same things that Jesus says that we can do. The works that I do shall you do also. Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these shall you do. Jesus doesn't mean greater in quality. He means greater in quantity. Let me repeat that. Jesus doesn't mean greater in quality. He means greater in quantity. Because there are more of us than there were of Jesus. He was only one man. There are millions of Christians throughout the world. Amen. In all the millions of Christians, if we would minister to one blind person, a million blind people would be healed instantly. Jesus could only be in one place at one time. We can be all over the world. He didn't mean greater in quality. He means greater in quantity. Amen. Jesus raised the dead. After you raise the dead, what can you do? What's greater than that? There is nothing left for you to do after you raise the dead. That is the ultimate. Amen. Now let's look again at verse 13 and 14 in John chapter 14. Jesus is speaking, and he says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, for the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. When we do something in Jesus' name, it is as though he himself did it. Now, don't get it confused with prayer. Do not get it confused with prayer, because he's not speaking about prayer. Notice what he said. He said, if you ask anything in my name, he didn't say, ask the Father to give you something in my name. But he says, ask anything in my name and I will do it. Amen. Now let's look how this works. And we are not talking about prayer. Remember, Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name. Now, some Greek scholars say that the word ask carries with it the implications of demand. The word ask carries with it the implications of demand. When you are demanding something, you are demanding your rights as a Christian given the authority to do so. Not from God, but from the devil. It is the devil who has people in bondage. It is the devil who has men sick. It is the devil who has men in poverty. What Jesus is telling us to do is to we ask or demand in the name of Jesus that the devil take his hands off our property, off our family, off our finances, and off our bodies. Amen. Jesus is saying that the devil has to do it because Jesus' name is the greatest name in the heavens, in the earth, and under the earth. Amen. The demons have to bow to his name because Jesus' name is the name above all names. Praise the Lord. Jesus has given us the authority to use his name. Now let's see how some men in the early church understood the meaning of this, and they did exactly what Jesus says. Now let's go to our roadmap, the B-I-B-L-E Bible, and see what it says. So please turn to the book of Acts chapter 3. Again, that's Acts chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8 and then 16. So we're going to read verses 1 through 8, and then we're going to drop down to verse 16. Amen? So if you found Acts 3, follow along as I read. And it says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.'" Verse 5. "So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Amen. Now let's look at these scriptures and analyze them and see exactly what's happening. We see and we know that what a tragic condition for anyone to be in. He was born lame and he never walked a day in his life, and he was over 40 years old. You know, Dr. Michelle and I, the first lady of this church, we have had the privilege and the opportunity to go on missions trips all over the world. And we have seen people in similar situations. And believe me, it is not good. It just tears on your heart to see Satan have people bound up in these kind of conditions. But the best this man could do was to sit on the side of the road by the temple and beg for alms or beg for money. It's tragic, it's pathetic, and Satan is a liar. But it says, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, he begged for alms. So in other words, he seen Peter and John, and he stuck out his hand, and he asked for money. Now, verse number 4, it says, Peter and John fixed their eyes upon the man. So Peter and John turned around and looked at this man intensely. The reason Peter told the man to look at them was to get his undivided attention. They wanted to make sure whatever they were getting ready to do, that this man had their undivided attention. And verse number 5 tells us that the man gave them his attention, and he expected to receive something from them. Now, notice what the scripture said. The scripture we just read didn't say that this man looked upon them hoping to receive something. It said he looked upon them expecting to receive something from them. Let's look at it. Verse number 5, he said, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Amen. See, the reason multitudes of Christians today don't get their prayers answered, the reason they suffer through life with sickness and fleshy injuries, diseases, is simply because they don't expect to receive anything from God. They are only hoping that they will get something from God. Only hoping and a praying. Well, that's not going to do it. You have to expect to receive something from God. Amen. The verse did not say that that man gave them his attention for hoping. What is he going to hope for? He can hope right on down the road somewhere. No, he was not hoping to get something. He was expecting to get something. He said to them, give him alms or money. He was begging. When the man asked Peter and John for alms, they said to him, look at us. And he gave them his undivided attention, looking at them, expecting to receive something. You have to expect something from Christians. Amen. God's mercies are new every morning. So expect to receive something. Every time when we lived in California, every time we went to church, Dr. Michelle and I, we expect to receive something from man of God, because we knew that God has something for us. And so you have to be in the mode of expectancy. The Bible says that he obeyed them, giving Peter and John his undivided attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then it says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. And then he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Let me repeat that. It says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The scriptures record that Peter took him by his right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. He said immediately. It wasn't 5 minutes, an hour out. He said immediately his feet and his ankles received strength. So he, the man who was begging, leaping up, stood and walked. Now, he probably walked for the very first time in his life. Praise God. He said, so he, leaping up, stood and walked, entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Amen. That's what Jesus meant in John 14:14, when he said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That is what Peter was doing. He was demanding of the devil to take his hands off this lame man's body. And the man was made whole. Hallelujah. Now notice something very subtle in this verse. Notice Peter did not pray. Amen. He did not pray. He did not get down on his knees and ask the Father to come to thee down. No, Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Do you understand that? Now, we must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. Peter knew it. That's why he told that man, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They were using the authority of the name of Jesus. You have to know and understand that we have the same authority Peter and John exhibited. But it won't work for us if you don't believe. You have to believe it. You cannot be afraid to use the name and be ashamed of what other people will say about you or call you. You cannot be ashamed. Think about it. They're going to talk about you anyway. So you might as well use the name of Jesus. So get the victory rather than defeat. Well, you know what? I'm just about out of time. But please join us next week when we continue our teaching on you must know and understand the reality of the name of Jesus. But until then, continue to walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.